Well, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Tuesday, February the 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2026. I am Andrew Forrest, and this is your wake-up call. Well, once again, I'm glad to be back with you folks here in Sower Nation. I'm the senior pastor at Asbury Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the author of Love Goes First, and I am just excited to think about the seeds for the great awakening that Seedbed has been sowing, and we are praying for spiritual revival in our time and a great awakening, and we're praying that God uses today's wake-up call to that end. Amen. In this little series, we're going to be looking at the second half of Exodus, which is, well, where if the first half is where God takes the people out of Egypt, the second half, what we'll study, is where God gets Egypt out of the people, which I think is just as much a relevant message today as it was way back then. And so, Lord, we're grateful where you have brought us, and keep going, O Lord. Amen. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. Praying in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our scripture reading for the day is Exodus 19, 1 through 6. Hear now the word of the Lord. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. And there Israel encamped before the mountain, while Moses went up to God. The Lord God called to him out of the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the people of Israel, You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Thus shall you say as you speak to the people of Israel. The word of the Lord. So what's the point of getting out of Egypt anyway? Why did the Lord go to all that trouble to get Israel out of Egypt? What's the point of the Exodus? Or to put it another way, what's freedom for? Now, Exodus 19, 1 through 6 makes up, arguably, the most important paragraph in Exodus. Back at the burning bush moment in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, the Lord told Moses that when he and the people would arrive again at Mount Sinai, he would know for certain that God is faithful. So they have finally arrived at Mount Sinai here in Exodus 19, and the Lord reveals to Moses the purpose all along of the Exodus. The Lord tells the Israelites that they have seen with their own eyes what he did to the Egyptians, and that the journey through the wilderness has had a purpose. The Lord didn't bring them into the desert to kill them, like they complained, but rather he brought them on eagle's wings through the desert to this mountain for a purpose. But before the Lord reveals that purpose, he sets out the terms of the covenant he is making with Israel. A contract is a short-term agreement, but a covenant is a lifelong binding promise. The people need to listen and obey, and if they do so, they will then be God's special nation among all the nations of the earth. The whole earth belongs to the Lord, yes, but Israel is especially chosen to represent the Lord to the nations. In fact, Israel is meant to be a kingdom of priests. Priests mediate between God and man, and they both represent people to God and God to people. That's Israel's special job, to represent the Lord. Just as at the burning bush, here Moses goes up to the mountain to receive a commission from the Lord, but this time the commission is for all the people. Previously, they served Pharaoh, but now they are to serve the Lord. Just as Moses received his identity at the burning bush, so here the people receive their identity as God's special people. The Apostle Peter drew upon this story when he wrote 1 Peter in the New Testament. But you, verse 9, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. 1 Peter 2:9-12. The purpose of God's people is to represent the Lord to the nations, so that the nations can come to know Him and trust Him and receive life in His name. What follows in Exodus, with the Ten Commandments and the subsequent laws, are specific ways that the Lord's people are to live so that they can draw the nations to the Lord. What a beautiful calling, church! We get to represent the Lord to the world. We get to share the good news of God's love. P.S. Note in verse 1 that the entire calendar has reset with the Exodus. From now on, Israel will mark time from the day of their liberation. How cool is that? Lord, You have chosen us to be a light to the nations. Set us apart, therefore, Lord, and shine through us so that others will see and be drawn to You. Purify us and give us strength for the mission. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Journal prompts. Priests intercede for the people. How can you intercede for someone today in prayer? What situation or need do you need to be lifting up to the Lord on someone else's behalf? Holiness is being set apart. Are there areas in your life in which you have become too much like the surrounding culture? Where do you need God's Spirit to make you more holy? The church has a mission for the world. When you go about your day today, how can you carry forth that mission? I mean, isn't that the point of all that we're doing, so that God can shape us and form us and send us out in His name? So today we will sing "Here I Am, Lord," hymn 589 from the Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. It's a great hymn. Let us all sing it together. I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard You calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if You lead me. I will hold Your people in my heart.
Verse 3.
I, the Lord of wind and flame, I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard You calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if You lead me. I will hold Your people in my heart.
What a beautiful prayer. It says at the top of the hymnal, it's in the section for commitment and consecration. I love that. What a great hymn. Well, friends, for the awakening, I'm Andrew Forrest, and I'll see you in the field.